You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
But in thinking about all this stuff that we're doing right now, we're going through this transition, and I was praying. I just could not figure out what I wanted to preach today because I thought, man, it's one of these moments where you're going through a transition, but you also got Easter coming up. And so, you know, as a pastor, you're supposed to preach things that have to do with Easter coming up. I think that's in the contract somewhere. And so I was trying to figure out what it is that I wanted to preach. And I had a couple of things on my heart that I just really wanted to share today. And all of a sudden, it kind of clicked with me that I could do both. And so today, I do want to talk about transition. But in thinking about transition, we see that Jesus went through a transition as well. As a matter of fact, the whole Easter story is all about transition, right? He moved from ministry into sacrifice mode. I mean, he had to go from healing people and raising the dead to being killed himself. And that was a transition that he had to work himself through, and it was very difficult. And I started thinking about us and what we're doing, and we're going through a transition. And then I started thinking about the Old Testament, and we see in the Old Testament transitions happening. And so I wanted to make sure that today we could share both sides of that. And so today, if you would, turn to Joshua chapter 3. As we're doing that, if you are a guest with us today, we're so thankful that you're here. We're glad you're a part of us. I know there are a bunch of guests right here on the front row, and so that's great. But there may be some others that are guests today too, or maybe you haven't been with us in a really long time. We've got a connection card we'd love for you to fill out. That way you can make some little comments, tell us how great or how terrible the message was, whatever it is you want to say about the lights, make sure everybody treated you well today. We're not gonna come visit you at your house. We just want to send you a letter and thank you for being a part of us, and we'd love to get your comments back. Also, if you need notes for today's message, please hold your hand up. So if anybody needs any cards, notes, anything, hold your hand up. I've got people that'll come. They'll make sure you get whatever it is that you need as you are turning to Joshua chapter 3. While y'all are turning to Joshua chapter 3 and they're handing out stuff, let me give a little bit of filler. Yesterday, I took a group of people out to an old barn about an hour away, and it was a 138-year-old barn. And we got to go in and take as much wood off of that barn as we wanted to be able to use at the building, because we're going to do some stuff that kind of we wanted to have that kind of old wood look. And so we went to do it, and some people said, well, why didn't you take more wood? Why didn't you strip it all the way down? It was 138 years old. Did y'all hear that too? Okay, good. I thought maybe there was a ghost or something playing the piano. I was the only one hearing it. And so it's a 138-year-old barn, and so parts of it were rotten. And so we're up there working, and like you're stepping, and all of a sudden your foot is like ready to go through the floor. And then one point I was downstairs. It's a two-story barn, and I was downstairs, and I'm working, and I'm knocking boards off. Man, I've got my crowbar, and I'm knocking boards off. Boom, boom. And every time I would hit, stuff would fall, but I'm wearing a cap. And so it's just hitting on my cap. And finally I decided to look up. And when I looked up, it was one of the beams, the floor joist, had rotted in half. Was broken in half and was hanging right above my head. And every time I would hit that wall, that thing would just bounce and stuff would fall on me. So I decided real quick that wood was not worth it. So I left that part. And so it was really cool that we got to do that. But while we were out there, this is the part of the story I want to tell. While we were out there, everybody knows how much I love to hunt and how much I love to eat deer. And so they started saying, Pastor, come out back. And so I went out back, and there was a deer, a doe that had walked up, a female deer. And she had walked up, and she was about, you know, like maybe from me to that exit sign away from where we were working. And she's just standing there, just watching us. And she had a tag in her ear, and the tag said pet on it. And I thought, that's crazy. Somebody's got a pet deer out here. And then she was just saying, I thought maybe she was behind a fence. And then she slipped through the fence and is just kind of walking around. And next thing I know, Jim McChesney, one of the guys in the church, he's out there touching this deer. And I thought, that is the craziest thing. I mean, I've touched deer before, but but they're dead, and I'm cutting them open. Like, I've never just gone up and pet a live deer, you know. I let my kids pet deer all the time, and then I tell them to go wash their hands and get all the blood off, right? And so it's one of those things. And so there's this deer, and so the deer's there, and Jim's touching it, so I immediately go grab my kids who were there, and I was like, y'all got to come up here and touch this deer, come pet this deer. And so they come up there, and they move, you know, real slow, and they're getting up there, and then they're petting the deer, and it was the coolest thing. I don't know why it was cool, but I thought it was really cool. And then later on, they had a German Shepherd out there, and the German Shepherd and the deer went out into a field and played together. This woman that lived there said, that deer doesn't know it's a deer. It thinks it's a dog. And the deer would jump and, like, kick at the German Shepherd, and the German Shepherd would, like, jump on the deer, and then they would chase each other around, and it was the weirdest thing. I'm sure all the other deer are in the woods going, something's wrong with that guy. I knew it when he got his ears pierced. Something was wrong with that guy. So let's get into the message today. So we're talking about transition. And what I want to give you this morning is a lot of scripture, actually. It's just a story. And so if you want to follow along with me, that's great. But what this is we find Joshua is now leading the Israelites. Moses is dead. Joshua's in charge. And Joshua has all these Israelites, and they're trying to cross over this river Jordan. And what they're doing is they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. They've been in the desert for 40 years, and now they're going into the land that God promised them hundreds of years earlier, and they need to go into this land, but there's a river in between them and the land, and they are transitioning not just physically, but every transition, this is a little nugget you need to know, every transition is not just a physical transition, it's also a mind change as well. For example, we're moving out of this place, and someone told me the other day, well, how are we going to be able to do this, and how are we going to be able to do that? And I said, we're not. We won't know how to function in the new building until we get in the new building and try it on. But we can't take, even just from one building to the other, we can't take the same mindset into our new building that we have, because it's not going to look or feel anything like this. And whenever you're transitioning, even if you're transitioning jobs, or you're transitioning schools, or you're transitioning just in life, you need to make sure there are some things you hold on to and some things you don't. You can't take every old job into your new job. Matter of fact, that'll get you fired. But the first time you go in and say, well, my last boss didn't do that, then your boss is going to say, well, go back to your last boss. Right? Just a couple of thoughts. That's not my notes, but I thought it's good to share. Joshua 3, verse 1. Let me just get started here. It says this. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. They set out from Shittim, and they came to... Yeah, and I know it sounds bad when you say that word, but that's actually the way it says it whenever I listen to it on my Bible app. And I'm a preacher, and I'm not allowed to cuss in real life, so every chance I get to say a bad word, I'm going to do it. See, Shane, remember I told you there's certain things a pastor can say. Don't ever try that up here. And they came. My grandpa didn't think that was a bad word. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant. Now listen, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was essentially, it was a box, but it was the representation of God's presence in the camp. And these people understood that it didn't matter where they were located physically, it only mattered where the Ark was located. Man, y'all don't understand that part yet. Listen, it doesn't matter where you are physically. The church building doesn't matter. We keep saying we want to get out of the PlayStation. We want to get out of the PlayStation. The PlayStation doesn't matter. The fact that we have a roof is great, but it only matters where the presence of God is and that we are in the presence of God. It doesn't matter about a physical location. I'm happy to get in a building. Don't get me wrong, but getting in a building is not about getting a better wall and getting a better roof. Getting a building is, the only reason I'm happy about getting in a building is because I don't have to set up these chairs every Sunday morning. The fact is, I just want the presence of God. We were talking to the contractor, and he said, there's no way you're going to get in here by Easter. I said, you don't know my church. I said, we'll have church in the parking lot. Because the building doesn't matter to us. I just need to get out of the rain. Wherever God's presence is where I want to be. That's the only thing that matters. So you need to understand that that makes a lot of difference in this story. So they got the presence of God. They got the Ark of the Covenant.
of being carried by the priest, and then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Not even following Joshua, following the ark. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. That's about 1,000 yards, I think, if I understand right. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way that you should go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark, pass on before the people. And they took up the ark and went on. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I'll begin to exalt you in sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And as for you, command the priests to bear the ark when they come to the waters of the Jordan. You shall stand in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come and listen to the words of the Lord. I'm going through this kind of quickly because you need to hear it. And Joshua said, here is how you will know the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. And the Jordan is a river, for those of y'all that don't know. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribe, and each man, and the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord, and the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above will stand up in a heap. I'm almost done. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped into the brink of the water. In parentheses, here's what it says. Now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the time of harvest. In other words, this river isn't just a river. This isn't a creek. This isn't like walking across the Cahaba. This is a river that is flowing and overflowing. It's flood season. So in other words, if it was just a couple of people, they might could have gotten themselves across the water. But you're talking about maybe a couple million people, and trying to cross a flooded river is very difficult with that many people and all their stuff, right? And so we got a dangerous situation here. And it says the waters coming down from above stood up in a heap far away, in a city called Adam, and those flowing down towards the Sea of Arabah and the Salt Sea were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. So the first thing I want to tell you today, when it comes to transition, there's going to be a couple of points I just want to look at in the Scripture, and then we'll shut it all down and we'll go. But a couple of things. Number one, when you're in the middle of transition, it is going to require faith. It is going to require faith. God brought them to the Jordan at all the wrong times. Like, he could have brought them to the Jordan during the dry season. He could have brought them to the Jordan during a time when they could have just waded across in their own power. But God brought them to the Jordan at a time when they should not have been crossing the Jordan. And whenever God brings you through a transition, it won't always be at the time that you think is right. Sometimes God will bring you into a transition at a time and you think, oh man, I don't know if we can do this. I don't know if we can do this. Listen, it wasn't but a couple of months ago, maybe a few months back, last year sometime, back in the fall, I was looking at our church and I thought, man, I would really love for us to get into a building. And people kept telling us, you got to get in a building, you got to get in a building. And here's one open and here's one here and there. And I just kept saying, we don't have the money, we don't have the people, we don't have the ability, we're trapped, I don't know what to do, we can't get out of this place, but we can't go anywhere else, and we can't stay here. And it was one of those things. And it was at a time when I thought, this is not a good time for us to move. You know, some churches move because they overflow their facility. We were moving, well, we were in our mind thinking we got to move so that we can, you know, not dwindle. Like, we got to get out to a safer place. And that's the moment that God called us to move. That's the moment God opened a door for us to transition, was not in the time when most churches would want to move. And I'm going to tell you, in your life, in your job, in your family, there's going to be times of transition that you're going to walk through, and it won't seem like the right time. But the reason it doesn't seem like the right time, the reason it seems like you're walking into a flood, is because God wants you to depend on Him and not yourself. See, if we would have waited until we were overflowing and we had all the money in the world and we had all the stuff in the world, then it would have just been how great we are. Look at us and what we've done. But because of the way this transition has transpired for us,
It's always God. People say, well, Pastor, you're doing a great job. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to hang in, right? I'm just trying to hang in there. Be quiet, Doobie. Don't be amening that. At the end of the day, I pray to God every day, God, give me wisdom, give me wisdom, give me wisdom, because I don't know what I'm doing. I need you to lead us and guide us. I can't make people give us favor, right? I can't make people give us favor. I can't make people walk up and give me $500 checks for the church, but that's happened twice. I can't make money come out of places I did not expect, like the owner of the office building that we were in, that we're moving out of. I had totally forgotten the fact that we put a deposit down on that place a couple years ago. He calls me up the other day and says, you know, Mr. Wright, I'm so sad to see you guys go. I hate that y'all are leaving, but you and I need to get together. I've got some money I need to give you as a deposit. That's going to be like, I don't know, probably like $1,000 we're going to get just from that. So I can't make that happen. That's got to be God. That's got to be God. It's got to be God whenever I sit down with the owner of the building and he says, this is not a sound financial decision for me to make. He says, I should not be going into business with a church because you guys will come in and you'll either do one of two things. You'll either fizzle out and I'll be stuck with this contract, or you'll get big and I won't be able to fill this place up anymore and you'll leave me. And he says, I don't understand why I'm doing this, but I just got to make this deal with you. I've got to do this. That's got to be God. That's not me. That's not me. I can't make that stuff happen. And what happens is God puts us in a flood stage to teach us to depend on Him. The Israelites came up to that river and they said, there's no way we're crossing that. And God says, I'll make a way. I'll provide a way for your transition. I'll take care of it. The second thing we've got to do is this. Well, let me say this about faith too. I skipped this, but I like it. Faith depends on two things. It depends on your belief in God and your understanding of yourself. I think sometimes people forget that every time Jesus performed a miracle for somebody, that whenever he said something about their faith, it was always because that person believed he was the Messiah and because that person was very honest about themselves. Very honest about themselves. You have people coming up to Jesus saying, look, I'm a sinner. I'm messed up. I know I'm messed up, but I believe you're the Messiah, and I believe you can heal me. I believe you can heal my servant. I believe you can do this. I believe you can do that. And Jesus said, look at this faith. There's not been faith like this anywhere in the world. He said that about people that were very honest about themselves, and I think that's one thing that you and I need to be. Whenever we come to God with faith, we need to always believe God can take care of everything. But at the same time, we need to be really honest with ourselves and understand maybe we're not as special as we think we are, and we have to have Him. We're not just going through what someone told you to have faith. It's not just a matter of, oh God, I believe in you. It's a matter of, I know who I am, and I know what I can and can't do, but I've got to have you take care of the rest. The second thing we've got to have is focus. I like the idea in that scripture we read in Joshua chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. It said, consecrate yourselves, and it also said that the ark was a distance away from the people. Now, that word consecrate yourselves means this. It meant for the people to separate themselves from that which was ungodly so that they could focus on what was godly. I'm not saying that you and I are doing bad stuff. When I use the word ungodly, it may not be bad stuff, but it's one of those things. What are the distractions in our lives? And whenever we're going through a transition, we need to have faith, but we also need to have focus. See, there's a lot of things as we go through transitions that we focus on, that we look at, and really God's saying, I need you to separate yourself from that. I need you to focus on me, not on the stuff. When I was younger and I was looking for ministry opportunities and interviewing with pastors, and I was going to be a children's pastor or a youth pastor or whatever the case was, I remember talking to my dad, and my dad, having been a pastor, you know, all of my life, he told me, he said, at the end of the day, you need to look for what God is saying about that ministry opportunity. And he said, worry about the money later. And I thought at that moment, I thought, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I need to know how much the money is now. Like, let me, he said, no, you never, never make a decision based on money. You always make a decision based on God. And he said, if it's God, the money will take care of itself. And I've used that as part of my transitions every time we've made a transition. As a matter of fact, one church that I went to, the pastor wanted to talk to me about money, and this is going to sound so stupid, and I don't advise you to do this necessarily, but the pastor wanted to talk to me about money, and I said, look, I feel like this is God. I don't care. You know, because they were saying, how much do you need? I said, I don't need anything. I just feel like this is God, and I don't even really feel comfortable talking about it right now. I said, let's talk about everything else, and we'll worry about that later. And the pastor was like, whoa, I don't know about that, you know? And so it's one of those things, and we've even had, Perry and I have moved places before and taken pay cuts to go places. And every time, God has been faithful to provide for us. Like, to the point it just doesn't make sense. Like, I look at it, I'm like, man, I'm not supposed to have money, right? Like, I'm supposed to be living on less, and instead, all my bills are paid. I don't understand how it works. Maybe some of you are secretly putting money in my account. I don't know, but if you are, thank you. I appreciate it. But it's one of those things we need to learn to separate yourself from those things that will draw your focus away from God in the middle of a transition. Separate yourself from those things that will, and maybe that means fasting. Maybe that means fasting TV or movies or entertainment. Maybe that means fasting Facebook, fasting whatever takes your time away. But learn when you're going through a transition, learn to separate yourself so you can get focused. And then the Bible says that they let the ark get about 2,000 cubits or about 1,000 yards away from the people. And I always wondered, why would they do that? And it wasn't so much a thing of, oh, the ark is so holy, you can't get close to it. No, it was a thing of when you got 2 million people, the only way everybody can see it is if you put it way out in front. And it gave people something to look at. It gave people something to be guided by. Listen, God wants to guide you through your transition today. He wants to guide this church through its transition. But we will never take the right steps if He's not in our focus. If He's in our blind side, we'll miss Him. If He's in our blind side, we'll go right past Him. We need Him out in front everywhere we go. The Bible says that those people were used to that. That for years they had been led, the Bible says, by a pillar of fire by night and cloud by day. And the cloud would go before them and the fire would go before them. Whenever He said move, that's how they moved. They learned to follow God every step. And that's how we're going to have to, that's how we'll be successful as a church. That's how you'll be successful as an individual. That's how your family will be successful, is if you learn how to separate yourself from those things that would distract you and focus on the one thing that you need. In the New Testament, John chapter 14, and I want to reference a little bit of John 14, 15, and 16 today, because this is the last thing Jesus says to His disciples before he's murdered. This is the last kind of stories, the last messages He preaches to His boys before He goes off to the cross. And so I'll reference some of this, but the disciples were not understanding the idea of our Messiah is going to get killed, our master's going to get killed. This guy's, he's led us for 3 years and now someone's going to kill him. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And they're very worried and they're very upset. And Jesus looks at him in John 14, 5 through 6, and He says, Thomas speaking says, Lord, we don't know where You're going or how we can get there. And Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. What Jesus was saying is, if you would just learn to focus on Me, I'm the way through. I'm the truth of everything you need, and I'm the life that you desire. You'll learn to focus on Me. The next thing that you need to understand about a transition is that every transition requires a fight. And we don't want to think about that part. We want to think that once we leave this place, everything's going to be easy, it's going to be great, we're going to just run over there, and all of a sudden everything's going to happen the way we want it to happen. But the fact is, although the Israelites were going into the promised land, and what the Bible says was into a place of peace, the fact is, the first thing they did when they crossed over that Jordan was they had to go fight Jericho. They had walled cities, they had giants, they had armies, they had people against them, and every time they turned around, they were having to fight somebody. If you keep on reading the book of Joshua, you'll get to a part about a guy named Caleb. And the Bible says that Caleb was an old man in his 80s or 90s, and he was an older man. And Caleb looked at Joshua, and he said, you know what I want? I want those mountains up there. And Joshua said, Caleb, those mountains are full of giants. Caleb said, I feel as young as I was when I was 20. Let me go take them. There's some of y'all like that in here. Some of y'all look old, but man, when you get to working out there, you get to knocking down barns and putting stuff on walls, you ain't as old as you look, that's for sure. Caleb said, let me go out there and take them. And the Bible says Caleb went and took those mountains. At his old age, he killed a bunch of giants, him and his fellas. And I just want to tell you something today. When we cross over, when you cross over into that transition, when you go through that Jordan, there's still going to be a fight on the other side. Don't think there's not. Some of you think, I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to get this new job, and everything's going to be great, and it's going to be easy. I'm going to marry this woman or marry this man, and my life is going to be easy. No, there's still fights. There's still fights. I thought my life was going to be easy with Perry when I married her. There's still fights. Not with us, of course. Don't be flexing your muscles, babe. Get me unfocused. I'm trying to preach the word. You're there showing off. Golly, that's all I can think about now. I like it better when you're working in kids' ministry. So there's still fights whenever you move over in that transition. But let me tell you something. The thing I love about the Word of God is God says, remember that passage, He says all these places. He says, I will take care of that for you. If you'll listen to me, I'll give you victory every time you face a fight. And Jesus told us the same thing. He said, look, the kingdom of God is going to suffer violence. It's going to suffer violence. It's not going to be pretty all the time. It's not going to be easy all the time. There's going to be times, Jesus says, they're going to carry you away. One of his last messages to disciples, he says, they're going to carry you away before kings and rulers, and they're going to cut off your head. They're going to crucify you. They're going to put you in jail. It's not always going to be easy, but I'm always going to be with you. And he's going to walk through us on every fight, every battle. So you got to have faith. You got to have focus. And you got to be ready for a fight. When we move over to that new building, we got to understand there's going to be different obstacles to overcome. But we'll fight those obstacles the same way we fought them here. We'll pray, and we'll pray, and we'll pray. And we'll seek God and depend on Him. The next thing, and I'm almost done, is a foundation. In Joshua chapter 4, if you skip over to the next chapter, in Joshua chapter 4, it says the Lord told Joshua to get the 12 guys, the 12 leaders of the country. And it says, take the 12 men from the people from each tribe and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from where the priest's feet stood, and bring them over and lay them down on the place where you're going to spend the night. And in verse 21 it says, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask your fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you will let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for us to pass over. And as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried it up for us to pass over, so will all the people of the earth know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The thing I love about that verse is it says that God told Joshua, get a bunch of stones and set up a memorial. It wasn't a matter of just remembering the past. It was a matter of saying, hey, this is a foundation. This is something that we need to remember every time we face something. We need to remember that God crossed us over the Jordan and he crossed us through the Red Sea, that it was God's hand. And he says, I want you to tell your children about it, but I also want the whole world to know what I've done. There's got to be a foundation that we keep going forward. Look, how we do church may look a little different in a new place. The seating will definitely look different in the new place, right? There's going to be some things that will change and evolve as we do it, but there must always be a firm foundation that we keep for all of time. For all of time. And Jesus does it like this. Jesus in John chapter 15, and you need to go back and read this whole passage. I don't have time to read it today, but it's so, so good. John 15, 1 through 17, and it's the whole message that he gives his disciples on, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me, stay in me, right? And there's a couple of things he tells us to abide in, and these are some foundations that he gives us that I think we can take with us over there, and you can take with you throughout your transitions in life. But the first thing he says is abide in me. Abide in me. In other words, stay connected to me. Don't allow yourself to disconnect from what I'm doing. Don't allow yourself to disconnect from what I'm saying to you and the life I'm trying to give you. Stay in me. And you know, that's really a hard thing during a time of transition is oftentimes in times of transition, people become dislodged and they fall away. And there's going to be times in your life you're going to go through a hard transition. You're going to be crossing the floodwaters, and it's going to be tough and it's going to be scary. But the struggle is going to be staying, is abiding in Christ, and you've got to fight for that.
You got to fight to abide. The second thing he says is, I want you to abide in my words and let my words abide in you. Listen, folks, if we ever get away from the Word of God, if we ever get away from preaching the truth of the Word of God, if at some point we get to this level of, well, I got to preach in such a way that I don't make people mad, and we got to tell the truth, but we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Listen, that's not what the Bible's all about. I'm not saying we go out purposely hurt people's feelings with the Word. That's just mean. But I am saying this, we can't ever get away from the truth of the Word of God. We've got to have the truth of the Word, and it's got to be a foundation. It's got to be a stone that we set up, and we say, this is something we will never forget. The next thing he says is, abide in my love. Now, the Bible says that there's nothing can separate us from the love of God, right? And I think that's true. I think there's no way that there's a separation that something else can pull us away from the love of God. But Jesus makes it very clear here, there is the idea of you stopping to abide in his love. That his love is always for you. But you got to make sure that you're abiding in that love, that you remain in that love. Amen? The last two things he says is be fruitful. So we've got to abide in his word. We've got to abide in Christ. We've got to abide in his love. Then we need to be fruitful. What does it mean to be fruitful, Pastor? Being fruitful means we are winning the lost. We are telling people about Jesus. We are introducing people to Jesus Christ. We're bringing people in and helping people find him. We are outreach-minded, not just inward-minded. It's not just about us four and no more. It's got to be about everybody else. It's got to be about the world. It's got to be about the city. It's got to be about helping others. If we can maintain that as one of our stones of remembrance, that, Pastor, no matter what we do, no matter where we go, we've got to reach the lost. That's got to be something that's a foundation for us. That's got to be. We've got to become fruitful. Fruitful is not having money in the bank. That's not fruitful. In your transition, in your job move can't just be about loading up a savings account. That's not fruitful. That success in the world's eyes, but you and I both know that at any moment, the market can crash, the economy can bust, and now all of a sudden you don't have the fruit you thought you had. Success can only be found in changing people's lives. Because that's something that never changes. That's something the economy can't change, the market can't affect. It can only be in changing people's lives. And if we're not changing people's lives and we're not doing our job, it's got to be a stone of remembrance for us as a church and as for you in your family. The last thing that Jesus said to him is love each other. And man, that's so important. The other night we had prayer at the new building. We're just praying over it. And somebody said, Pastor, I just feel like we need to pray that God would just help us to love people. And I said, that's so true. Because in this day and age, look, we talk about the Word of God and speaking the truth. But if I speak the truth and I don't have love, then all I've done is offend. But if I speak the truth and I have love, the Bible says the discipline of a friend is like a sweet kiss, right? In other words, it's one of those things of, if I know that you love me, then I will give you access to my life to speak the truth. But if I don't know you love me, I don't care what you say, I'm not listening to you, right? And so we need to have that love for each other and for others. The last thing is this, and this is where I want to end today. The last thing is this, is during your transition, you got to have freedom. You got to have freedom. The Bible says, Joshua 3:1, this is where I'm going to use that word, so if you don't like it, close your ears. Then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Shittim. Now Shittim is named after the acacia tree that grows in that area. That's just the name of the acacia tree, right? But here's the thing about that acacia tree is full of thorns. It's very thorny. As a matter of fact, I think I've heard somewhere before that those may have been the same kind of thorns used whenever they crucified Christ, that the acacia tree has just some big old long thorns on it. And in that area, in that city, a lot of those trees grew, and so that's where it got that name. But that's also the city, the Bible says, that when Israel was coming into that land, they went through that place another time earlier, and the Bible says they were deceived, and they fell into the idea of worshiping other gods. And it was in that place that they sinned their worst sin. Isn't it cool how God brought them back to the place of thorns, a place of entrapment? And that was the place from which he launched them into their destiny, into their promise. I just thought that was really neat, that a place called thorns, a place of captivity, a place of sin, is the very spot that God brought them out of and put them into their destiny. I want to tell you something today. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. God can take you out of that and put you straight into your promise. But you got to be willing to get up and leave. You got to be willing to get up and leave. Let me tell you real quick what Jesus said about that. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, and this one may not be on the screen, but Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Can I tell you something today? God wants you to be free from your past. He didn't want those people remembering that town as a bad place anymore. He wanted them to remember that town as a place that they were launched into their destiny, into their purpose. God wants to set you free from the thorns today. So I asked this old lady, I said, "Tell me about this deer that y'all had just running around this property with Pet tagged in its ears. How did that happen?" She said, "When that deer was a fawn, little bitty, she said, these kids have an uncle that was out hunting one day and saw the deer trapped in some briars, in the thorns. And he went and he set that little deer free from the thorns, but knew that it was too young to survive on its own. So he brought that deer home to his nieces and nephews. And because they had a farm, they had all this stuff, and they bottle fed that deer until it was old enough to live on its own. And she said, they tagged the deer's ears, but they put the deer in no fences. They let the deer run as much as it wants to run. She said, but it always comes here. It always comes here. It knows that this is where its home is, that this is its family. She said, that deer doesn't know it's a deer. She thinks it's part of the family. She thinks she's like the dogs and the cows and the horses. Like, she just thinks this is where she belongs. Can I tell you something today? Just like that deer, God looked down and He saw you trapped in your sin. He saw you trapped in something you couldn't get yourself out of. And He reached down, Jesus did, and He pulled you out. He set you free by His death on the cross. He set you free from all the mess that you had gotten yourself entangled in. And not only did He set you free from it, but He brought you home and He took care of you and He put you in a family and He tagged your ear and He said, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is my child. And then He doesn't put you in a cage. He doesn't put you in a box and say, you got to stay here in this. He says, live your life. I came to give you life and life more abundant. Jesus said this right before He dies. He says, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. You're just part of the family. Yeah, you may go build your house over here, but you always know where home is. You always know who your source is. We're like that baby deer today. We may be going through a transition. We're going through the transition with somebody that's willing to set us free from the thorns. Amen. Why don't you close your eyes with me this morning?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.